Wow, why don't we pray? Father, thank you. I'm so grateful for each and every one in this room, those watching online that I can call my family, God, because you have made us your children, washed us in your blood, redeemed our lives from destruction. You have taken us by the hand and led us into the way of everlasting life. Thank you for the privilege of being with your people and the privilege of engaging in your word together and letting the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that today it would not be me that's heard, that you would hide me in Christ, and that each one would hear from you what they need, their daily bread that they need, Father. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. And I just pray that we would leave here completely different, impacted, filled with the Holy Spirit, and changed more and more into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I thought it was amazing that Jeremy chose to learn that new song and bring it to you this morning, because it just so ties in with what I felt to share today. And that is, I want to talk about the helper. Now, really, it's hard in our language, but when you want to emphasize something as the greatest, that three-letter word, T-H-E, the, we say the greatest, right? Or the greatest. Well, it's not just the helper. This is the helper that I want to talk about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn to John chapter 14 with me? And we're going to have a look at... So I'm so amazed by our God. I'm so amazed by him. There honestly is no other God like our God. He's so wonderful. We have a Father, we have a Son, the Savior, and we have a Helper, the Holy Spirit. So if you can turn John chapter 14, and we're going to have a look at verse 16 to 18 first, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Here's a promise that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, would be with us always, and that he would be our helper. Now, I like to picture things, because I'm a bit of a picture learner. I learn things well when I can see them. So here's a picture I want to paint for you. Now, have a look around the room. We've got a lot of chairs in this room, right? And those chairs are a little bit heavy. So I want you to imagine this scenario. Let's say I call one of you and I say, "Hey, I've got to pack up all the chairs because we're getting the carpets clean. I've got to stack them all on the walls. Would you mind..." Actually, we have to take them all the way out there because the carpets need to be free. "Would you mind coming and helping me?" So you go, "Yeah, what time?" We meet here and we get into the hall together. And I go, "Oh, thank you so much for coming." And I start stacking. And when you go to help, I go, no, it's all good. It's all good. I just need you here with me." And then I keep stacking. And by the time I'm like three quarters of the way through, I'm like, "Man, I'm so exhausted. And I'm so glad you came. It just encourages me that you're here." And I just keep stacking and stacking. And I'm sweating profusely. How are you going to feel? Are you going to be a little bit frustrated with me? Would you like to just stand there and watch me do all the work when you're supposed to be helping? I know that would really frustrate me. And I began to realize that often in my Christian life, I'm having a good old go at it, and it's hard work because I'm not actually allowing the helper to help me. The point of having a helper is that I actually need help. I need the Holy Spirit. I need his help in every moment of the day. And he's called the helper. I love this so much. The Spirit of Truth. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've had an enormous breakthrough because the Holy Spirit has opened my eyes and shown me the truth. And the truth has set me free. He helps me when I'm in a pickle. I will refrain from telling the story. And do you want to tell the story?
I'm telling the story. Those of you that know Anita know that when she's tired, she gets really giggly. Who knows that? There's a few of you out there that have seen it in action. So the other night, it was quite late at night, and Anita goes to my daughter's door, knocks on her door, and says, "Melanie, can I talk to you for a moment?" And Melanie's like, "Yeah, what's wrong?" Like, because she had this presentation of something's wrong. And she said, "Melanie, we've got a problem." And Melanie's like, "What's wrong, Mum? What's going on?" And Anita pulls from behind her back a jar of pickles and says, "I'm in a bit of a pickle." And she just dropped to her knees and manifested on the floor. It was the Holy Spirit, not a demon. And she's just full of joy, just laughing uncontrollably. And Melody is just like, doesn't know where to look. And then she comes to our room and does the same to me. And I'm like, "You need to have a shower and come to bed." Because you know when you laugh and you do the laugh snort, that's when you know you're tired. And then as you laugh at the snort, and it's like this never-ending cycle of laughing. That's the story.
Well, what do you do when you're in a pickle? You open the jar and eat them. It's all good. I thought it was hilarious. Nobody else in my family really thought it was as funny as me. It's very sad. But hey, we have a helper to help us out of any pickle. And we just often don't realize how close and how real and how present he is. Okay, so we're going to keep reading in John 14. We're going to go down now to verse 25. It says, "These things," again Jesus speaking, "these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If we begin to truly grasp how we have the Holy Spirit with us, sorry, I can see you guys. It's all good. When we realize we've got the Holy Spirit, ever-present help in time of need, something begins to change. How would you behave in your everyday life if you really knew God is with me right now in this moment? So I've been on this exciting journey with him the last... Actually, ever since we started our 40-day fast, every day fasting from something to feast on Jesus, I have been encountering Jesus in amazing ways through the Holy Spirit. And so last Sunday, I was on Children's Church. And I remember, I'm learning how to accept help from the Helper. So I'm down there, I had all my lesson prepared, but I needed one part of it. I had to show something on the screen. And I got the computer fired up, and then I realized, oh, I don't know how to get from my laptop, and I didn't even bring my laptop with me, onto that computer what I needed. And I just went, I guess we're not going to be able to do that part of my lesson today. But then I remembered, wait a minute, I'm not good with tech, but I do have a helper, the Holy Spirit. So I said, "Holy Spirit, would you mind finding this lesson for me?" I had to go in to my own account and trying to find my emails and log in all through an unfamiliar computer. And it was just, it wasn't that it was too hard for me. I just hadn't actually had enough time to do what I needed to do. Anyway, it was like about 5 minutes until church started and I was just about to leave. And I just felt like, no, you asked for help. Let me help you. So I clicked on a button. Next thing, three clicks, I'm not kidding, three clicks and my thing was there. I still don't even really know how he did it. But I went, wow, you're so cool. And it gets more and more fun. I've been like, just going, what can't God help me with? There actually isn't anything. I'm the one who puts the limits on. And so I've had a bit of fun. I shared this at Bible study the other night. But see, I went to Warwick a fortnight ago, and I clean there once a fortnight for some people. And I parked near their tree, and the shade was on my car. It was all lovely. But then this storm came over, and when I came out later, this tree had dumped so much pollen on my car, my bonnet almost looked yellow. And it was sticky, it was all over the windows and everything, and oh. I went to the service station, I got it all off my windows, but just my car was just sticky and disgusting. And I've been flat out, as most of us are, and I just honestly did not have time to wash my car. And every time I come out in the morning to go to work and I look at my car, oh, I still didn't wash it, it's still sticky. So anyway, I remembered, I have a helper. So on Wednesday morning I said, Holy Spirit, would you please wash my car today? And then I just went about my work, and then later in the afternoon, I was at a client's place. Now, you probably relate to this, where my back number plate is, it's kind of inset a little bit. So even if it rains, the dirt and stuff still stays in that area. It's like you need a hose or a gurney or something to actually get into all the cracks. But anyway, I'm at this client's place. Next thing, this storm builds up, and the rain, it doesn't come down, it comes across like a Holy Spirit huge gurney all across the back of my car, got in every crevice. It came literally at an angle like this. The bonnet, my whole car was absolutely gleaming. And when I finished there, the rain had gone, so I didn't have to carry my gear in the rain, but I came out and honestly, I did this. Ooh. I said, oh, my spirit. Wow. I said, that's amazing. You're really good at washing cars, you know. That was so good. He washed my car. Why? Because it was becoming a burden to me. I know it's just a little thing, but it was weighing me down. And it was bothering me and my helper. And then that blew me away. I started thinking about it. Wait a minute, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He is God. And he humbles himself to serve me as a helper every day of my life. That just began to blow me away. Because I realized we see Jesus as the servant, and he is. But do you know all three of them have the same divine nature? They serve us. The Father serves us, the Son. We're supposed to serve one another because we're made in his image. It's just mind-boggling to me that we have not just an angel sent to help us, we have the Holy Spirit, God himself, is here to help us. So amazing. And so he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. So worldly peace lasts until the next storm, until the next crisis, until the next drama, until the next thing goes wrong. But his peace is abiding because it's the person. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? One of them is peace because that's the fruit from the Holy Spirit in us. So it says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The only way we can do that is when we actually know who is with us. That's how we cannot be afraid. Do you remember? I can't remember if it was Elijah or Elisha, but they had the whole army coming against them. And his servant was so afraid, and he prayed, he said, God, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes and he could see chariots of fire, angels, angelic hosts all around them. There was more with them than was against them. And I just want to pray today that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to what or who, rather, we have with us. If we know who is with us, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Let's look at this one. If you flip over one chapter, John chapter 15, verse 26. So just go over one more chapter. John 15, verse 26 says, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Jeremy was saying about this in his message earlier around communion. If something happens, the Holy Spirit helps open our eyes to reveal Jesus to us, to reveal who he is and what he has done for us. The Holy Spirit comes, proceeds from the Father, carries the heart of the Father, comes to us and wants to impart a knowledge of Jesus, not here, but here, where we understand, we are loved, we are chosen, we are valued, we are wanted, we are treasured, we have a place in the family. What a wonderful, wonderful helper. He helps with absolutely everything. There's another one in John 16, so go over one more chapter. We're going to read from verse 7 to 15. So John 16, 7 to 15. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." I want to read on in just a minute, but let me just pause here and tell you how amazing this is, okay? He's going to come and convict the world of sin. Do you know the conviction of the Holy Spirit is an absolute gift? We can't even repent unless he convicts us of our sin. So he comes and he opens our eyes to realize we are on the wrong road and we need to change direction. We need to put our trust in Jesus. So we need to believe in him. And then it says he convicts of righteousness because Jesus has gone to the Father. I want you to have a little think about this. What is the role now, once you've departed from sin and you've turned and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, what is it that the Holy Spirit now convicts us of? Righteousness. So if you're experiencing many thoughts of condemnation, that is not the Holy Spirit at work in you. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you of your righteousness because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, having finished the work, having made a new covenant, having made you in right standing with God by the power of his blood. He convicts us of righteousness. Now, let me explain how that works. So what he does, he convicts us of now our right standing before God and who we really are as children of God. So earlier earlier last week, I was cleaning early hours of the morning and I was just feeling really, really exhausted, really tired. I had a whole lot of stuff attacking my body and I just thought, wow, you know, I could have a really awesome, amazing pity party right now. But I mean, I could have all the neighbors come and we could have a fair dinkum pity party. And so I thought for a second that maybe that sounded like a good idea. But then the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Truth, brings a verse back to me. You guys probably know this one. I think most of you will. "They that wait upon the Lord shall..." And then what happens? "They shall mount up on..." wings like eagle. And then what happens? They shall run and what? Not grow weary, and walk and not faint. So the Holy Spirit, my beautiful helper, he brought that truth to me. He said, you can have a pity party or you can soar with the eagles. I went, ooh, no, 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 that sounds way more fun. And right then, I had a change of attitude. And I went, I'm coming to your party. Let's go running. Let's go soaring. And as I did that, his joy filled me. And then guess what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. His strength filled me. And I began to dance as I vacuumed. I was so filled with energy, so filled with joy, because the joy of the Lord is amazing. What happens with the joy of the Lord is that you start thinking about his goodness. And then you just get tickled pink, like he's just so, so, so wonderful. You almost can't even express it. And everything changed. And I was not having a bad day. I was having the best day. Because the Holy Spirit began to minister truth to me. That's what he did. He convicted me. What do I have available to me? Because I'm made righteous, because I'm now a child of God, what do I have available to me? I have all the resources of my Father in heaven. It's mine. And the helper just sets it up. He's so amazing. Ah, oh, so good. All right, we'll keep reading. Oh, wait, there was one more. So, convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But look what it says. Because the ruler of this world is judged. So, the Holy Spirit's not going around judging people. He's going around judging the principalities and powers and demonic forces that are hindering people, harming people, causing people's lives to be bound. That's what he wants us to walk into. But the Holy Spirit is wanting to convict you of judgment. So when you come into the presence of somebody who's bound by something, bound by a sickness, bound by a disease, bound by a tormenting spirit, whatever it might be, you have the Holy Spirit within you and he's convicting you. Remember, the ruler of this world is judged. You can enforce that judgment right now. Get off of that person in the name of Jesus. I'm going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to live in his conviction. And his conviction is that the ruler of this world is judged. Has he come against you? Has he stolen from your life? Has he stolen from your family? Has he stolen from your friends? Have you got things that are going on for you and you just need a judge, a righteous judge to step in for you? You have that in your Heavenly Father, and he's wanting to judge in your favor. He's wanting to rule in your favor. We've just got to be convicted of the fact that I'm not the one under judgment here. I'm under the blood of Jesus, which cleansed me from all sin. But the ruler of this world is judged, and I'm going to tell him to go packing. You know what? Last night, I just want to, out of curiosity, it might seem like I'm, okay, this is a rabbit trail, but it's all good, I feel to go with it. Put your hand up if you had trouble sleeping last night at some point during the night. You did? You did? Yes? Okay. Did you happen to look at the clock, what time it was when you were struggling to sleep? Or was that too depressing? Did you not want to look at the clock? What, 3 o'clock? Who else was around 3 o'clock? Yeah? 2 o'clock? Yeah? Okay. So guess what? Last night was like a full moon, right? And on a full moon, there's a lot of witchcraft activity. And they like to do their stuff between midnight and 3 a.m. And so last night, I never have trouble sleeping. But 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, still awake. I started getting cranky. I got cranky at the devil. I said, stop stealing my sleep. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Anyway, and then I went, oh, tell you what, Lord, if this is you, if you're wanting me to pray, can you just let me know? Otherwise, I'm telling the devil where to go. And I went up to go to the bathroom. I looked down. I saw the full moon, and then I knew I was supposed to be praying. So I said to my helper, Holy Spirit, how do I pray? How do I pray against witchcraft activity right now? And he said to me, pray that all the curses, all the plans and all the schemes will fall flat on the ground or come back to them, bounce back to them. So that's what I began to pray. I was like, Holy Spirit, hinder every activity that they're trying to do. Let it be so impossible that nothing works for them tonight, that everything they schemed and planned against you will fail and fall like dust in the street, and their curses will be returned to themselves. And I prayed for a while, and then I was like, that was fun. And then I had a big sleep wave, and I went to sleep just like that. So can I just encourage you, if you're not struggling to sleep, maybe it's a bit like Samuel. Remember Samuel? He kept running to Eli. Did you call me? And Eli's, no, I didn't. Go back to sleep, boy. Maybe God is getting our attention and wants us to pray. So ask the helper, the Holy Spirit. Oh, what am I meant to pray about? I remember one lady, her husband was on a flight home. And it was a flight that went through the evening. And she was woken up out of sleep and just got, pray for your husband. She didn't know what to pray. She just began to pray in her Holy Spirit prayer language. And then she got one word to pray. It was very profound. Wheels. She's like, man, this is strange. But she just kept saying, wheels, wheels, wheels. What she didn't know was that at that very moment, her husband's plane was malfunctioning and the landing gear wouldn't come down. The wheels wouldn't come down. And God woke her up to pray. And then at the last moment, they came down, he landed the plane and everybody was spared. But I've never forgotten that story. So we have the Spirit of Truth, the most amazing helper, the third person of the Godhead, and he wants to engage in our lives and engage us in helping bring the kingdom of God wherever we go. The Spirit of Truth. So awesome. All right, we're going to keep reading. So I still have many things to say to you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. I love that. Whatever the Holy Spirit hears, he will speak and declare it to you. Do you think the Holy Spirit hears the conversations in heaven? Do you think he hears the heart of the Father and what's being said? Of course he does. They're one. And he wants to tell us the secrets of heaven. You know, there is, I feel like I've just started scraping the surface of what's available to me in Christ, particularly my relationship with him. The sweetness of his presence. Can I tell you, he is gloriously amazing. And the joy that has filled my life this week, just the thought of Jesus, and then this joy starts to bubble up. I'm like, you know, people, I go into their house to clean, and I'm like, how are you today? I'm so glad to be here. They're like, wow, come in and eat. I'm so filled with joy because I'm filled with his presence. His presence is so wonderful. It's like, everything you've ever needed or didn't even know you need all at once just being made available to you and so much more. Like, I really can understand now, heaven is not so much about a location, it's about the person who fills it. Heaven is all about Jesus, because there is nothing as wonderful or as glorious as him. He is life. Like think most extreme ride that my kids go on, and I pray like crazy just watching them. But you know, these wild, crazy rides, and the exhilaration and the feeling, and I mean, you know, you're alive, right? The only wild ride I really went on, I prayed the whole time that I'd stay alive. I was so sure I was gonna die. Anyway, but you know you're alive, right? Well, that's how it feels when you're in the presence of Jesus. You know you're alive. It's like every part of you comes alive with him. And he is in us. our ever-present help. Acts 1:8 says this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." In Luke 3:16, John answered, saying to all, "Indeed, I baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The Holy Spirit and fire. Whew. Can we go to Isaiah chapter 40? I want you to really look at this together. If I hadn't had time, I would have put it on the screen for you. But if you've got a Bible, electronic or whatever version, paper, let's look at it. Isaiah chapter 40, 28 to 31. I just referenced this verse before, but I really feel we're going to read it together. It'd be great to read it all out loud together, but because you've all got different translations, just read along and I'll read it out loud, okay? So chapter 40, verse 28 to 31 says this, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary, and he is in us and with us and for us, and we can soar with him. You don't have to be an ordinary person. You can be an extraordinary person. Ah. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So, 2 Timothy 1:7. So if God has not given us a spirit of fear, we're talking about spirits here. Now he says, "but of power." So that means we have the spirit of power and of love. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power and of love. And I want to just delve into this as we bring this to a close. He's a spirit of power and love. Can I tell you that the power of God always works through love? Always. So the power of God is available when we see people and they are really not at their best because they are being influenced maybe by an evil spirit. We see it everywhere. I mean, you only have to go shopping and at some point you're going to see some cranky customer talking to the staff. Anyone ever witnessed that? Someone going off? Now, here's the thing. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the love of God, which helps us look at situations completely differently. So instead of looking at that person and thinking, "Oh my goodness, they seem to get alive," really. Not that I've ever thought anything like that, you know, but I've heard that people. Sorry, Lord. Anyway, But we can look at the situation completely differently. And so instead of like judging the situation by judging the person and going, "Why are they doing that?" we can judge the ruler of this world behind the person and say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I just take authority over this situation. I just arrest that spirit of strife right now. Just thank you, Lord, whatever going on for that person, just bring them peace right now, calm them down." That's what happens. We don't have to have a spirit of fear. Fear is reactionary. But we have a spirit of power and love and a sound mind in the Holy Spirit. So looking, and I've been trying to practice this, and honestly, I feel like I'm a complete novice, so I just feel like I'm starting. But I want to see life through the eyes of the Holy Spirit all the time. So whatever I'm doing, I don't want to see the normal situation. I want to be able to see it from God's perspective. Because when I can see it from God's perspective, then I can partner with Him and we can bring difference no matter what that situation is. All right. Two scriptures left. Zechariah 4:6, and this is one of the scriptures that God has given us for this year. Remember, this is the year 2025 of double grace. The year of double grace. A year of possessing our promises, of entering into all that God has for us. And we have this scripture, Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Hebrews 13:5-6 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness." How can we be without covetousness when we realize that there's more than enough in Him for all of us? Amen. "Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?' The Lord is my helper." The Lord. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of angel armies. The Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. The Lord, the everlasting one. The Lord who is and was and is to come. The Almighty. He is with me and He is my helper.
Amen.
I don't have to fear anything. See, I can't stop smiling because you start thinking about Him and all the weight goes. Everything just lifts. The chains fall. "What can man do to me? I will not fear. The Lord is my helper." We have a helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Will you stand to your feet with me today, please? The Lord wants to fill you afresh today with His Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you so that you can stand and testify. You can be convicted of righteousness and judgment, knowing that the ruler of this world is judged. Because as Jeremy said earlier, Jesus won the victory. He won the victory for us. There wasn't any power or force that was strong enough to keep Him in the grave. He walked out of there triumphing over sin, death, the grave. Oh, what a mighty God we have. He's mighty to heal, mighty to deliver, and mighty to save. I just want you to close your eyes across this place so we're not getting distracted just for a minute. And if you're in this place and you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, I want to tell you something. You can search the whole world over and you'll never find anything that can cleanse you of your sin except the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has never lost its power. He can forgive to the uttermost. There isn't anyone who's done anything too bad that they cannot be forgiven, that they cannot be cleansed, that they cannot be transformed and made into children of God. So if you're in this room or if you're watching online and you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, you want His blood to cleanse your sin, you want to make Him the boss and the Lord of your life, you want to submit your life to His authority, I want you to just raise your hand up high where I can see it. Anita, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Just all across this room, where eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If that's you, put your hand up. Anita, that is me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to follow Him. I want Him to cleanse me of my sin. And those watching online, you can do this wherever you are, at home, listening, wherever you are. We're just going to say a simple prayer, just inviting Jesus into our lives. I'm going to say, you can say it after me, and anyone is welcome to follow along in this prayer. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to die for me. Cleanse me of my sin. I believe Jesus is the Messiah, my Savior. I put my faith in him and the work that he did on the cross for me. I choose to follow Jesus and make him my Lord for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's one more thing I want to do this morning. I want to give opportunity. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit on fire, today I don't want you just to walk out without the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit fill you. So I'm just going to ask if we can sing that part of that new song. It was like the bridge part. The new one about the Holy Spirit, yeah, like fall like rain, but not that bit, the other bit. I'm still learning in songs. Yeah, that bit. Thank you, Melody. That's the one I wanted. All right. So let's just sing this, and I'm going to believe the Holy Spirit is going to come. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, just put your hands up, just enter into worship, and he is going to come and fill you and touch you and change you. Amen. We might as well have the band come up because I don't know the song very well. So I'll get passed over to you, Jeremy.
Lift up your hand right now. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. That's me. I want to receive the Holy Spirit today. If you're near someone that's got their hands raised, is someone over here? Can we make sure we've got hands laid on every person that has their hand raised? We're family. And there's a special impartation when we agree together in unity. You don't need pastor to come lay hand on you because I'm just like you. I'm a person. Yes, I occupy an office of pastor and that's my role. But that doesn't make me any more powerful or any less powerful or any more special than you, the believer in Jesus. So Holy Spirit, right now we pray for people with hands raised in the room. And we ask that you would come in power. Holy Spirit, fall like rain. Move in power in our lives. Give us strength when we are weak. Give us wisdom when we need help with making decisions. Lead us and guide us. Show us the path you would have us take. Only the Holy Spirit can impart this wisdom. And so fall like rain. Move in power and make a change and a difference in our lives today as we receive the Holy Spirit into our hearts and into our lives. Come and fall like rain. Fall like rain.
Fall like rain.
You can't be hungry.
Holy Spirit, fall like rain.
Come and have your way.
Holy Spirit, have your way.
Let your glory fall.
Let your glory fall.
Let it fall.
Let your glory fall.
After the service, we want to celebrate with you. We're excited about what God's going to do in and through your life. We've even got Bibles. If you don't have one, we'd love to gift you one from our church. The Word of God is powerful and it leads us and directs our path. Amen. 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 God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let's give Him a praise and thank you.